Yazmış olabilir.
İstersen şuraya yazı versen gidelim.
Every once in a while, I feel it my duty to remind you of the importance of knowledge. Contrary to what we see in the Islamic world, all the disasters which happens to us is due to the lack of knowledge and the lack of education. Still, in Asia, in Africa, there are millions of Muslims, maybe hundreds of millions, who are still illiterate. While in the Quran al-Kareem, in Surah Taha, Allahu Ta'ala says, orders Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, say to us, O Lord, increase me in knowledge. That was his dua, that was his prayer. Some idiots think because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was illiterate, he didn't know how to read and write, that it was the thing to be in Islam not to know how to read and write. Indeed, he had no teacher, he didn't know how to read and write, but he was a person, there was no end to his knowledge, because his teacher was Allahu Ta'ala. Now we are Muslims living in the Western world in the 21st century. Many of us, fortunately for me, that most of my children here have high degrees. The place is full of PhDs. But even the PhDs, one of them is sitting right next to me, has done what he has done to acquire knowledge till he got his PhD, and after that he may think that it is not necessary anymore to know anything else. If I ask him of philosophy, I doubt if he would be able to answer. If I ask about art, I wonder whether he would be able to answer. I mean, many subjects, I am sure he will admit, he is totally ignorant of.
I agree.
So if he, who is a big shot, you know, PhD, have a great job in IBM and everything else, admits that he more or less stopped acquiring knowledge, for instance, do you read the newspapers every day?
I do.
You do? Well, that's good. How many people don't read the newspapers? Let me see your hand. So you don't know what is going on in the world. Yeah.
Watch TV all day long.
Now, contrary to what is practiced in today's Islam, as you see, not only in places where they don't even know how to read and write, but in places such as here, where there are lots of people who have master's degrees and PhDs, that people don't read, people don't learn, people do not acquire new knowledge. While in the true Islam, it is as much, if not more, an important obligation, three things: ilm, knowledge; amal, to put your knowledge into action; and istiqama. Now, an Arab, we have one from Syria at least. What is istiqama in Arabic?
Istiqama is a straight path. It's a straight path and no return to it. Just goes to.
Istiqama is a path with no return. I mean, you don't turn your back to it.
Right.
Yeah. It's a direction, you know, which this is one meaning of istiqama. But istiqama at the same time, as far as I know, means is integrity, sincerity. So then it is an obligation, like fasting, like praying five times a day, like paying your zakat, like going to Hajj, and in fact, more importantly, that one, a Muslim, is supposed to keep learning. Now we are going to come back to keep learning what later. That we are supposed to keep learning, and we are supposed to put what we have learned into action in our lives, and we are supposed to be absolutely insistent of continuing doing this in a honest and sincere way. Now, some Muslims also think that they don't need to learn much other things except their religion. That they have to know the Sharia, they have to know somewhat the fiqh, the divine law, they have to know the kalam, they have to know the Quran, they have to know the sunnah, but they don't have to learn physics, chemistry, history, literature, not necessary for them. Now, there is in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go even to China to acquire knowledge. Now, neither at those times nor now, with the exception of the Chinese Turkestan, which is called Xinjiang, where the Chinese keep killing them too, because after all, these days it's sort of hunting Muslims day. They are not Muslims. So why go to China to acquire knowledge? What kind of knowledge are you going to learn from China? Buddhism? Taoism? Chinese art? Chinese architecture? Chinese knowledge in making war? What? It's more or less a proof to what I am saying, that the knowledge which we are talking about is the knowledge of Allah's attributes manifested in us and around us. Allah's actions, what He does around us and within us. And finally, Allah's essence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, only Allah knows about Allah. On the other hand, Hazrat Ali Keremallahu Veshehu says, I will not pray to a God who I do not know, who I haven't seen. Now, when we are talking about Allah's attributes, means Allah's creation. Everything which we see around ourselves in this room, when I look, all of you, this carpet, the electricity, the light, the architecture, the ceiling, this building, outside the snow and the trees which are asleep, they're all Allah's creation. They are not Allah, but it is Allah's doing. When it is cold, when it is snowing, when I am talking, when you are listening, it is all Allah's doing. If He wished, He can make me stop talking now. If He wished, He can make you stop listening now. So now you understand what I mean by knowledge. The knowledge of Allah's attributes includes zoology, botany, biology, anatomy, medicine, meteorology, mineralogy, everything which, weather, astronomy, includes everything. And then His actions, whatever happens, all the economic situation, the political situation, the military situation, everything which happens is Allah doing. Therefore, it also includes history. Now, it is said that when we start and continue and excel in acquiring such knowledge about Allah's attributes and Allah's doings, that we reach to a point which is called ittiqa. What is ittiqa in Arabic?
Piety.
Ittiqa, muttaqi.
Piety.
Trust in Allah.
Yeah.
So, when you excel in such knowledge, it is only then you can truly say, I truly trust in Allah. Now, at that level, there are also three levels here. The first level, which I suppose we all belong to a certain extent, is to do what Allah tells you to do and not to do which Allah Ta'ala forbids you to do. Allah Ta'ala says, don't drink wine. Allah Ta'ala says, make your prayers 5 times a day. Allah Ta'ala says, don't hurt, don't kill, don't steal. Allah Ta'ala says, help people. So, when you do that knowingly, not just simply, I am obeying Allah says so, because you have investigated, you know, Allah's attributes and Allah's actions, and when you don't do what He tells you not to do, and do what He tells you to do, well, you acquire a certificate, so to speak, that you are not going to burn in hellfire. Can I have a half a glass of water? Cold? Now the second stage in ittiqa, in faith and in trust in Allah Ta'ala, is not to do what He asks you not to do and do what He asks you to do, but you also make an attempt to understand its zahir and its batin. That's to say, the exterior meaning. Why don't I drink wine? Because it makes me drunk, it makes me stupid, it gives me a headache next morning, that I can kill people, I can make car accidents, etc., etc. This is the outside, you're certainly clearly meaning that one shouldn't drink. But then there is a hidden meaning, that inner meaning of not drinking wine, for instance, it is a change in one's natural, God-created state. So, it is not only wine, but anything which changes your natural state is forbidden. A bad friend, which may somehow make you do things which you are not supposed to do, it's as bad as wine. Hunger. No? That you are hungry, you know, may make you go and steal to be able to find some food. See? It's also as bad as certain sicknesses, you know, which changes your mind, or your natural state is also as bad as the bottle of wine. Now when you reach to that stage, your gift from Allah Ta'ala is that your nafs, your ego, weakens. That you are no longer under the command of your nafs ammara, totally. The third and final stage of ittika, starting from knowledge we are talking about, is the creation of selflessness, total control of your ego. No longer ego is your master, but you are the master of your ego. You have no self to speak of. You no longer identify yourself as Tosun Bayrak, because Tosun Bayrak has somehow disappeared. And that is the state that Allah Ta'ala gives the gift of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So we all say that yes, we love Allah Ta'ala, we love Rasulullah, we love our children, we love our wives, we love our husbands, we love our cars, we love our home, we love America, etc. No? But when it comes to the love of Allah Ta'ala, it is not so easy to say that you have to pass through those stages. And it all begins with accumulation of knowledge, including, as I always say, how to cook a œuf à minute, so the soft-boiled egg, including how to nail a nail, including Socrates and Aristotle, including history, including physics, including theory of relativity, yeah, and all these things. It is not only knowing your Sharia. That is why at the beginning 30 odd years ago, when we wanted to read something about Islam and about Tasawwuf, there was hardly any book. Some of you will remember there were those books printed in Pakistan and translated in Pakistan, which were unreadable and even then very difficult to obtain. Today there are lots of books, and we made an effort, you know, to print, to publish at least 10 books, you know, for my Ikhwan. We have done that, and I wonder again, you know, how many of you have truly read or reread at least the books which we have translated. Sometimes I feel really desperate, and I feel that some of us, we think that we come here once a week, we listen to me, and then we get up and make our prayers and our zikrullah, and then we call ourselves Muslims and dervishes. And then we also complain that I have been in the system for 30 years and what changes has happened to me. Indeed, in spite of our laziness, in spite of our carelessness, in spite of not taking this discipline as importantly as it deserves to be taken, a great deal has happened to most of us, even to the worst of us. But I am ambitious, and this life is short, and I should know that I am almost 90 years old, and I remember I was at this age a moment ago. So there is no time. Once again, I beg you, it is not only by reading and seeking and investigating, but I think what is most important is contemplation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one moment of true, sincere contemplation is worth 1,000 prayers which are done in vain and heedlessly. How often during the day do you contemplate your feelings? How often during the day do you think about the things which you have said or which you have done? How often during the day do you think about a tree which was flowering, which was all nice and green, which today is like a skeleton? This, I feel, is much more important in acquiring knowledge than reading or listening to the ones who know a little bit more than you know. Once again, I beg you to do that at least once or twice a day. Even we have the most boring life. I mean, if you are a housewife, you cook and clean and iron and wash laundry and this and that. But in each of these actions, there are such mysteries and such knowledge. If you could just contemplate about when you are cooking or cleaning or doing this and that, as to why you are doing the thing which you are doing. The first answer is, well, it has to be done. Why does it have to be done? Who is doing it? For what purpose am I doing this? Do you understand what I'm saying? How often do we do that? Hardly ever. We are being taught something. Is it true? How does it apply to me? Maybe I should put it in action. Let's see what happens. Let me learn something today which I do not know how to do yet. Simplest of things. There are a lot of things which we don't know, which we haven't done, which we could learn in a minute or two how to do. Salaamu alaikum.